Today on Real Life Radio.
The word fear means to be in reverential awe, to have a healthy respect for God. It is absolutely essential.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Luke with a message called Trees, Treasures, and Talk. You know, the Gospel of Luke is the book that really points out the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ at the same time, as only Luke, the physician, could do. Now, here as we continue in chapter 6, there's a teaching here known as the Great Sermon. You see, what makes the Great Sermon great is that Jesus is teaching it, a sermon directed toward those who follow him. The Great Sermon shows us what a true follower of Jesus Christ really looks like. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that in this sermon, Jesus is inviting us to examine our motives and to inspect our daily lives and our lifestyle. Does our claim to know God really line up with Scripture? Whatever's in our heart will come out. Now, in his message called Trees, Treasures, and Talk, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Can you and I say that in the next 6 months, church, listen, are you listening? In the next 6 months, will you and I be able to say from today, we have grown more in our knowledge of God? And we now, listen, yes, we'll be able to say it, I trust and pray, but in absolute unison with that statement is the proof, the fruit, that my life has borne fruit these next 6 months. Here's the challenge. God is designed for your life and mine for us in the next 6 months to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We don't have to do that other than be in the Word of God and so do the things of the Spirit. God will do the rest. Listen, it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the work of the Spirit. You got that? God produces it. It's like those orange trees that are outside the windows of this church. Those orange trees are in the ground. They're not groaning, they're not moaning, they're not complaining. They're an orange tree, and in time, they're going to have those wonderful blossoms that smell so good that tell us what? Oranges should be on the way, right? Man, I grew up in Orange County. We used to ride our bikes down through orange groves. That was such a strong, beautiful aroma of those orange trees. What did it promise? Fruit's on the way. We're just like that. It's the same way. Point number two in our study, trees and treasures and talk. Now we talk about treasures. Treasures. And the question comes in verse 45, what am I giving toward others? What am I giving toward others? Verse 45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil. Number one, jot this down. What are those good things that you can have from my life? There should be good things. The word here for treasure in the Greek is a great word. It means things deposited. I like that. See, it's funny. You don't make a deposit of anything that's junky. You throw it away. You only deposit things that are important to you. There's a safe deposit box. What do you put in it? Your laundry? No. Things that are precious to you. You go to the bank. What do you deposit in the bank? You make a deposit of something that's valuable. You put something that is important in a box. By the way, the value of what's important in the box makes it a treasure chest. You can take Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Disneyland. You can go all the way through that ride and come around where all that treasure is. Remember when you were little kids, that mountain of gold? When you were little, you thought, oh my goodness, if I could just... It's plastic. But there's that huge treasure chest. If you open it up, what's inside? Nothing. See, God would open up, as it were, your life and mine right now. Imagine for a moment if God freezed the sanctuary and we were all suspended for a moment And the glory of God began to shine about in our hearts. Whatever is the treasure of our lives is set in front of us. It's just right there for everyone to see, including God. Listen, God sees those treasures right now. But listen, the treasure in my heart and in your heart, when I live my life and you live your life together in and among us, in a community, in a church, together, listen, inevitably in time, what's in comes out. You might say, well, that's why I don't get involved. I don't want anybody to know what's in. It's going to come out anyway. It's a law of God. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. It's going to happen. So here's the great thing. See, you know, you and I are not destined to destruction on this. We just need, if we're sowing to the wrong stuff, we need to back up right now and change to what we're sowing to. Start investing in the things that are godly. Last service, first service, there was a brother that came up to me and he said, and he's been coming here for a long time, I want to tell you something scary happened to me. But what happened? I was goofing around with a lottery ticket. Oh, yeah? And I won $3 million. And I said, man, I'm going to pray for you. You're in deep trouble. That's exactly what I said. I said, you're in deep trouble. What? I said, now you're responsible to God for $3 million. I would not want that job. You say, well, oh man, I would do this and I would do that. That's the problem. It's God's money. Everything is God's. It's His. What are you going to do with it? You can either make it a treasure for righteousness or you can make it a treasure that's absolutely destructive. What are you going to do? You say, boy, yeah, that's right, Pastor. You tell that guy. Yeah, you let him have it. That's some good. Yeah, that's good. You tell him that. Wait a minute. It's true about me and it's true about you. What? I don't have $3 million. No, but you have hands and feet and a mouth and a body and life and a dollar. It's all the Lord's. Is it being used for His glory? That makes it a treasure. In fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure, that is the gospel, in earthen vessels, that the excellency may and the power may be of God and not of us. That's beautiful. Also, verse 45, we learn this. Is what's in my treasure chest, is it something that should be avoided then? Wow. He says in verse 45, Jesus is speaking. Notice how politically correct he is. I'm joking. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil. He just says it. Can you imagine today if somebody said, yes, I believe the evil that's done in this world is done by evil men because their hearts are evil. That person would be sued by the ACLU in a flash. Think about that. Jesus says it like it is. Evil comes from evil hearts, from evil people. Strong statement, absolutely factual. God Himself is saying it. What do we do with it? How do we reckon this? Understand this, that when we look at things that would bring about evil, if we sow to those things, invest in those things, take in those things, and listen, it doesn't even have to be necessarily, quote, evil. It could be something that is absolutely worthless, like trying to bite into cotton candy for nutritional value. There ain't nothing there. Oh, did you read your Bible? No, I didn't read my Bible, but I've read these magazines today. Well, okay. Did you pray to the Lord at all? Did you ask God's direction for your life today? Well, I thank them for my breakfast. You're going to get in trouble this way. It doesn't have to be grossly evil. It can be just neglectful. Jesus is warning, whatever is being deposited in our hearts, it's going to come out. And no one judges, by the way, the treasure chest or the leaves about what kind of fruit or treasures inside the box are hanging on the tree. It's important that we understand that. As a Christian, I want to encourage all of you this morning. In John chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus said, I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. He goes on to say in verse 5, John 15, 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Isn't that encouraging? I'm blessed by that. Man, all I need to do to produce fruit is hang out with Jesus. John 15, 7. Listen to this. Everyone's going to want to write this verse down after I say it. So listen to it. If you abide in me, Jesus said, and my word abides in you, you may ask what you desire, and it shall be done unto you. So what? Wait, what was that verse? He said, if you abide in me, that is, if you live your life in me, and my word is living in you, you can ask whatever you will, and it's going to happen. You say, man, I want a Ferrari. That's not how it works. He said, if you abide in him and his word abides in you, if his word is in you, you're not going to be caring if you have a Ferrari or not. Okay, it doesn't matter. You won't be asking stupid things like that. Oh, man, it doesn't matter. If his word is in you and you're in him, you're going to say things like this, Lord, whatever you want to do, you do it. And that's the most exciting. I tell you, when you pray that prayer, you need to put on a parachute and a helmet because, baby, it's going to get exciting. It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. Third point this morning, trees and treasures and talk. What am I saying about others? Verse 45. What am I saying about others? For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Wow, if I'm a good tree, good stuff's going to come out. If I'm a bad tree, bad stuff's going to come out. If I'm a treasure chest and I've got nothing in it, nothing comes out. If I'm a treasure chest with something in it that's good, good's going to come out. It's pretty simple, pretty clear. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's pretty terrifying. What's in your heart? We know what's in your heart. What's in my heart? You know what's in my heart. It comes out. Now, let's be honest. Hit the road. I mean, don't go anywhere. I'm just saying, rubber hitting the road. Here it is. Don't you respect people, Christian brothers and sisters, who are real, rather than those who are somebody in front of you and then they're different away from you? I got to tell you right now, I have been, Lisa and I both have been tricked by people who are something in front of us and different. And we find out later from the populace, from the neighborhood, this person, that, this person, I don't, you what? I don't know them like that. Oh, this person, that, this person, this. We were tricked. I would rather be with you and you with me, and we're the same people, in and out of church, in and out of the pulpit. That's Christianity. Real. And that doesn't mean that it's a justification for carnality. I'm talking about reality. I'm talking about you and I striving, disciplining in our lives, following after God, serving one another, serving the community, serving the world, going for it for God. And what is real Christianity? Like this? Watch. Is this it? 24/7? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What's that? You just slapped me or cussed me out or threw rocks at me? That's not real. Reality is you duck and you say, let's get out of here. But people are afraid to be, as a Christian, real among one another because, unfortunately, in the body of Christ, there is such little grace extended one toward another to allow each other to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus. And it's false. Again, don't take me wrong. I'm not saying, well, you know, none of us are perfect, so let's just forget about it. Not at all. What I'm saying is reality as a believer is this. That like Peter, when he denied Jesus, it's recorded in the Bible, he repented with weeping. When you see and when you're laboring with a brother or sister for the cause of Christ, that's where, like David's mighty men of valor are born. When we're living together, sharing together, serving together. Imagine for a moment this whole area, for whatever reasons, knockdown, earthquake, terrorism, I don't know, but imagine that we'd have to live together. We have no homes, we have nothing, we have to be together. Imagine. You're going to find out the depth and the level of each other's Christianity really fast. Can I have some water? That's my water. You're gonna have to get along and work it out. What do I say? What am I saying about others tells about me. You say, what? Yeah, this way, very quickly, we'll be done. What I'm saying about other people, what's coming out of my mouth, out of the abundance of my heart, it speaks about who I am. You want to know me? How do I talk about others? You want to know me? How do I talk about this church or you? Does somebody want to know you? Well, how do you talk about others? That's who you are. Do you say you're loving, but in reality, your mouth is destroying people? Then don't say you're loving, because you're not. Think about it. The best way for me to find out who I really am is to ask myself, what am I saying about you? And look, I hate to shock you, but this translates even over into relatives. Christianity is even powerful when it comes to relatives. What you think about Uncle John or, you know, Aunt Susie and what you say, hey, you're a Christian, Jesus is there too. It's out of the heart the mouth speaks. Isn't that kind of terrifying? No wonder why in the Psalms, the psalmist cries out and says, God, put a gate on my mouth. Better than that, Lord, change my heart. And that's what he does. It speaks about me out of the abundance of my heart. Then thirdly, finally, we'll be done with this. What am I saying about others? What am I saying about others tells about the Lord. Meaning this, about the Lord in my life. Is God really big in my life? Listen, do I have what the Bible says is the fear of the Lord in my life? A lot of people who don't read their Bibles much get really upset about that term, the fear of the Lord. I don't think God wants us to be scared of him. He doesn't want us to be scared of him. That's why he didn't use the word scare. He used the word fear. The word fear means to be in reverential awe, to have a healthy respect for God. It is absolutely essential that we have a healthy view of God when the scripture says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's that fear of the Lord, a healthy respect, that causes me to tiptoe around this life a little more carefully. That when I see the guy at the end of the ramp of the freeway with, I'm homeless, I want food, I know what you're thinking right now. But maybe, just maybe, who knows, but maybe God literally knew that that guy would be standing there the moment I, the Christian, would come down the ramp. Yeah, but the guy's a bum. You don't know that. I don't know that. Only God knows. But this we know. You and I are there at the stop sign, and he's right there with his little sign. Do we at least pray for him? At the very least, we could pray for him. We could roll down the window and say, I'll pray for you. If you have something, give it to him. If you don't have anything, just say, I'll pray for you. But how do you know that's not a divine appointment? We don't know who that guy is. Yeah, but I saw in 2020, those guys making $100,000 a year scamming people. You don't know that for him. All right, here we go. We end with this. The whole context of the teaching is Jesus making it very clear to us, the believers, don't go around condemning people. Evaluate them. Of course, I want you to do that. Listen to what they're saying in line of what they're living, and you'll be able to conclude, regardless of what they're saying, if they truly know me or not. The evidence is overwhelming. Just be quiet and watch. Now, if you're going to go to a brother, for example, that you and I know, you know a brother or a sister who's not living for Jesus, they're messing up, they're hurting themselves, they're in disobedience to the Lord, what do we do about that? Do we judge them? Oh, man! Oh! No. Do we leave them alone and let them continue like that? No. We go to them. And when we do this, by the way, Christians who still want to keep sinning, you know what they say? You're judging me, man. No, I see that you're doing this, you know, and it's not good. The Bible says right here, you know, don't do that. You're going to get hurt. It's going to kill you. Meg, back off. You're judging me. Gee whiz, where's the grace, man? Okay, that person's crazy. They, know what they still want to keep doing their thing. Just let them go do it until the, as it was with the children of Israel, the quail. Remember they wanted meat? Give us meat, God. We want meat. We want meat. We're sick of this manna bread. We want meat. God says, all right, all quail, calling all quail. Fly at about the strike zone. Right across their chest and let them eat quail. And the Bible says that they had quail coming out of their nose. Could you imagine having a quail come out of your nose? You sneeze, feathers are going everywhere. Anyway, see, I told you I think like that. Anyway, what do? When we see a brother that's hurting and messing up, jot it down, we'll be done. We're going to come screeching across the finish line right now. Number one, be humble about it, will you? You're going to go correct the brother that's messed up? Be humble. Be humble. Number two, do it prayerfully. Be praying before you go talk to your dear brother or sister. Number three, be biblical. Biblical. Four, be loving. Five, be merciful. Six, be an example of Jesus to them. Next, privately. Be private about it, will you? Be private. Don't pray about them in a prayer meeting. Dear God, you know our brother Mike, who is, you know, got caught robbing the store. I don't know if it's true or not, but, you know, people are saying it is true. And you know, I know he goes to this second service here at church, sits right about there. Dear God, you know what? That's gossip, and I can't, there's a lightning bolt that's going to hit you, I would think. Don't do that. That's the privately, quietly, go speak to them. And then finally, graciously, considering yourself. Don't come riding in on your white pony. Hey, I'm here, man. Yeah, I'm going to point out some evil in your life. You'll thank me later. No, don't do that. Come up to them graciously, because you know what? Whatever's going on in their life, if you don't watch it, it could happen in your life. Have we forgotten that? If we let down the guard, oh, but a little, we're right back to where Jesus delivered us out of. Have you noticed that? Boy, do we need each other. Strong words of Jesus.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Trees, Treasures, and Talk. Thanks for being here today. You know, Trees, Treasures, and Talk is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, you know, the new year is right around the corner, and we're really excited to have you join us in going through the one-year Bible in 2023. Doesn't that sound great? Let's nourish our spiritual growth together as we divide God's Word into daily readings in as little as 15 minutes a day. As a church family, we'll explore the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Psalms, the Proverbs. And don't worry if you miss a day or two or three or even a week for that matter. Just begin again on the current day so that we're all on the same page. Begin this incredible journey with us by ordering the one-year Bible. We saw many awesome and challenging things happen in 2022, didn't we? God moved in miraculous ways, and we can look forward to the new year as we look to the Scripture together in an unforgettable devotional experience.
Just know this, that when you sit down to your cup of coffee or your lunch or your dinner, and you open it up, just know that there are literally tens of thousands of believers that have joined you in that discovery that day. It's absolutely awesome.
The one-year Bible is available for purchase at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.